God has a dream for me.
Welcome, everybody. It's the Happy Hour of Fun and Learn with Inner Garden with Reverend Barbara Leonard, your host. Her mission is to help every one of you to honor God by being everything and ensure everyone that all spiritual roads lead to the one God. With each of us, the one God, we may differ, but just like a rose, and any is still a rose. So God, by any name, is the same God, a God of love, a God of all life, through whom we can celebrate our uniqueness and our oneness. And now here's your host, Reverend Barbara Leonard.
Dreams fade and die, and my heart cries, why, oh why, God finds a new dream.
Oh, hi, everybody. Here we are again to the Inner Garden Fun and Learn. And tonight we have a wonderful guest in from Toronto, who has been a minister down there for many years. And not too many, though, Judy. We won't tell them how many.
No.
Okay, this is Reverend Judy Merrill, and she's going to be on air with Jeannie Martin and I. Hi there, Reverend Jeannie Martin. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine, and hello, Judy. It's wonderful to be with you in this way.
Yeah, it's really nice. This will be an interesting experience for us all.
Yeah, especially online here with three women. And we can't see the third one. She's in a different place, so she can't even wave her hand and say, my turn, my turn.
God so help her. She may not get a turn.
You may not get a turn, Jeannie.
Well, I'm sure it's going to be fascinating. I'll be happy either way.
Yeah, good. I was just saying that tomorrow night we're having the demonstration of mediumship. And, you know, we've had them ourselves. We've done them. So people are going to have an opportunity to get out and see Judy work tomorrow night. And you look forward to that, Judy?
Oh, yes. That's always fun, to meet new people, because if you go to the same ones all the time, it's no challenge.
That's right, because you get to know them all, and you think, am I telling them something that I already know, or I've heard them get a message somewhere else? And we've been there, haven't we, Jeannie?
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was telling everybody that we're having some workshops next week, and we have got a few people in. There's a few spots left, but we're going to have an opportunity through this 10 days while Judy is here to get really some good background on the traditional spiritualism. So that sounds good, eh?
Oh, that's wonderful. That's great.
Now, Judy may not understand when I say that, because we basically are doing a lot more up on the scientific level and spiritual, but, you know, working that direction more than sitting circles, which is something a lot of times my people particularly are not getting the opportunity to do, Judy.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have a good time with Judy here.
Spiritualism seems to have a platform of three: the science, the philosophy, and the religion. And I think each of us has something that has a strength.
Yeah.
And I have to say, science really is a mind. So that's why I'm delighted to come. Because Barb always challenges my mind here to find the proofs and the science and how that fits together. And the first churches that were opened in Canada, by the way, were scientific investigative societies. And the first one was in British Columbia.
Well, how about that, Jeannie? Did you know that?
Oh, no, I didn't.
We're learning all kinds of things about our own movement out here.
History I can do. Science, I'm not so sure.
Well, this is what I was saying to the people in the classes, and I've mentioned it to you too, Jeannie, is that Judy's going to have a lot of background of spiritualism that maybe we don't have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, history and where it started and who did what and who's who in the zoo. You know, because really we've done a lot with the scientific side and had a lot of people that have been down that road. Even Derek does a lot of stuff on a scientific level, more so than like a circle or whatever, but he does hold some circles and stuff.
Oh, I totally agree. I'm looking forward to hearing this history, Judy. I truly am. Because that's where the wisdom comes from.
Should have brought more paper on history by the sound of it. You know, I'll have to I'll have to use my brain for now and then work on other things. But, yeah, if you know where you've come from, you know where you can go, basically. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to repeat the same mistakes and that kind of thing. But science in spiritualism is not emphasized enough, in my opinion, because a lot of us aren't familiar with science and how it can marry into it. But we certainly know that science is a part of religion and philosophy. And Orthodox churches have cut the science out, and I just think that's so unfair. Yeah. We have science to help us understand all kinds of things.
Exactly. And you know, like, we're in a scientific age right now, aren't we, Jean? Did you see that thing with Dr. Oz and John Edward the other day?
Oh, no. What was it?
Well, John Edward was on Dr. Oz, and they headed it by saying our psychic/mediums the future therapy for grief. That's what they asked. Now, can you imagine? Dr. Oz is a heart surgeon, scientist personified. He believes in holistic medicine, and he, in the last couple of months, have had two really good kind of spiritual mixed with science, you know, on there. And he had one hands-on healing facilitator that is a medical doctor. He's a Roman Catholic man, and he does massive healing facilitating in the States. And he asked him, he said, well, what kind of charge do you have? He said, I charge $250 for the session, and apparently I've got really good success rate. And he said, but if somebody can't afford it, I don't charge them anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean, for a medical doctor, $250 would be nothing an hour, whatever, 2 hours or 3 hours or whatever time.
Whatever
you work
team.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's Dr. Oz, but you should have seen the amazement on his face when he seen John Edward working. His mouth is dropped open. So that would be great. We've got a. I taped it so that our groups can look at it.
And,
yeah, and just to see the stunned look on his face. I mean, I think he thought John had some kind of ability, but I don't think he thought it was quite as direct and accurate. You know what I mean? Like when you come in, Judy, and you give somebody direct information, maybe description of the home they lived in, or description of the person to come up with a name, that knocks people off their socks.
Yeah, because it's the proof that we're seeking of the continuity of life.
Yeah. And this is what he did. He went in there and he said, you know, blah, blah, blah to this person, and this is this person, how they died, and they couldn't quite catch it. He said it was that he died on Valentine's Day. He said. And it was an impact. He said an accident. And the woman that he was looking at, he said, it's in this area. And she said, well, I can't identify with it. And finally, this other lady came up and she said, I didn't like to interrupt, but that is mine. And the guy had been hit by a bus, I think, and had just died this last Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm. Is she here?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And this was only like Friday or Thursday or something like that. Thursday, I guess. That was.
Wow. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It is.
Now, how can anybody make... Now, he got trashed. This is what I think is unfair. He got trashed by a science magazine for having this man on, or having John Edward on. And they also said, oh, he's too... We really don't like how he's so free with the alternate medicine acceptance. And then they went on to say, you know, Randy, the magician, has got $1 million offer up to prove that there isn't anybody that can prove to him, blah, blah, blah. Nobody could prove to Randy. He's got his mind made up. I mean,
exactly.
You could have his father stand in front of him. He wouldn't believe it. But, you know, who could literally be a skeptic and deny when he comes in and he says something like that?
You have to be willing to be hearing that the world is more than a mechanical engine, okay? And there are scientists now. There's an expression, I think it was Candace Pert said, that we're going into a cosmic dance of energies.
Yeah.
Rather than a mechanical viewpoint of what science is about. And until science jumps on that bandwagon and says, yeah, there's more than what the eye can see, but it doesn't make it unscientific.
No.
And the more they can open the minds of the scientific community to accept that there is another place to look at where a solution might exist. And I don't think we should be accepted on our word only.
No, we still have to give proof.
We still have to give proof. Yeah. We still have to consistently come in with that it, what worked in this case works in this case over here. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes that's the problem, is repeatable results in science. But we can do that as long as you're willing to understand that the spirit that's coming through has their free will to express what they want to express. So they're only going to give us so much.
And give us what they want to tell us, and that's it.
Yeah. And so it's never quite been enough. But they were doing some work down in, I think it's the University of Arizona, and they were testing out some mediums. And one of the mediums from Lilydale, actually, was down there. And what they were showing was the potential and possibilities of all of this going on. And you know, for Dr. Oz to say, is this the future comforting of the deceased and whatever, I mean, that's been our object since the beginning. Spiritualism was formed to prove that there's continuity of life. And in that continuity, give comfort to those that are seeking their lost loved ones. And I think that it's not a stretch to believe that if you can start to understand that you're a part of you continues, which has been proven all the way right now. I don't think there's very many people don't believe in an afterlife, and there aren't very many people that don't believe some part of you continues into that afterlife. All right? So once you start with that premise, what is that part that continues?
Exactly.
And who am I talking to up there?
You know, like, and you've seen it, and Jeannie, you've seen it, where people come out and they come with stuff there's no way that you could know.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely no denying it. But, you know, there are times when it just comes out. Now, I watched John Edward work one time, and he came to this lady and he said, I have a man named Alphonse. Now, how many Alphonses do you know? I don't know an Alphonse. Maybe between the three of us, we might know
one. We've got to come up with one.
Yeah, yeah. And so, anyway, he says this to her. I have a gentleman here that's coming through and described him. Said it says his name's Alphonse. And she said, that was my husband's name. Now, I mean, that's not a General John or Charlie or, you know.
Exactly.
That everybody might have in the family. How many of us have Alphonse in our family?
I know I don't.
I don't.
I think sounds like another nationality to me, so you know,
and
it might
so
be ethnic
amazing.
To some extent, you know, but which of course could also do that too. Maybe if you were in a room full of whatever that ethnic group was, you know, like
saying,
be in a room full of Catholics and say John and Mary, you know, was there anybody couldn't put up
John
their hand,
Mary,
you know, but it's the unusual names that come through and that stop us and say, okay, there's, you know, how did you pick that one? You know? They have a thing these days. They keep talking about working like the British mediums. And what the British mediums are doing is sending out a name and then see who can identify
or a group, condition, or whatever.
And see who can identify it in a group. And I had one given to me that was Madeline. Now, how many people in this day and age know a Madeline? It's kind of like an old name you know, one that there aren't that many of. So you have to kind of put up your hand and say, yeah, that one's mine because...
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
And then they do a process of elimination.
Unfortunately, I'm very incensed about this form of mediumship. Mm. Actually, if they're practicing that when you have British visitors here, I have to say what I've witnessed of the Americans or Canadians saying that they're doing it in the British form. Mm-hmm. And basically, it's very bad. I'll give a story on it. There was a lady was demonstrating and to a rather large room full of people, and she said, and there was a lot of young people in the congregation. She says, has anybody lost a baby? Okay. Well, but, you know, mm-hmm. 10 people put their hand up, all right? And then she went on with another little piece of information or another little piece of information, was a male or female or, you know, the color of the blanket, whatever. Anyways, and gradually she eliminated it all down to one person. And the message to that person was the baby saying they love you, and that was your message.
Wow.
Okay. Now, first of all, it's a lousy message. But second of all, the fact was that you left high and dry 9 mothers that had just lost a child.
And thought that
and
maybe.
You're supposed to be the one that's going to be the comforter of the next generation. All right. And that's where I'm pulling this together with what you said on the Dr. Oz show was that this is supposed to be the comfort of
exactly.
the
Exactly. And he
we
goes straight
to,
in.
We have to learn to go straight into who we're talking to. And not, and I was, at the same time that a medium got up and gave me Madeline, there was, I had put up my hand to a couple of other names earlier from other mediums, and I was the one that was disappointed.
Ah.
All right? So I received both sides of that coin that day.
That day.
Yeah. All right? And I'm sitting here to say, I don't care whose method it is. It's very shoddy mediumship if you do not zero in on who you're talking to.
And they can. Because,
they can. Yeah. They definitely can.
Now, on the other side, Jeannie, did you seen the Reese's work, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Now, this is a couple from Wales, and they've trained with the SNU and all the rest of it. And she had went through real extensive training, 2, 3, 4 years she trained there, like she was there all the time. And then she met him, and they piled up. And then they got married. Anyway, they are absolutely fantastic when they come in because they go straight in. Like I was watching them up in Penticton, and they came to this one gentleman and they said, right there, you know, your son is here. And he's saying, sorry for leaving by my own hand.
Wow.
You can't say that to everybody. No. I'll tell you, I make that work.
No. You sure can.
And they just came right in and they said it. And the man related with it. And they talked to the man about what the son was saying and that. He was saying, you know, don't carry any guilt on it. This was my choice. And, you know, went through the whole thing. And I thought, I was very impressed by the way they did theirs. They have a little bit of showmanship. I think sometimes they get mixed up when we're doing dems in the ordinary churches, okay? Well, we do them and people know what to expect. When you do them in large crowds, you've got people from all walks of life that maybe haven't been in there before. And for some reason or other, this is the way they're training some of the mediums. It's supposed to be entertaining. I think the way Reese's worked was more entertaining because the two of them, they would work off of each other. And that was,
you couldn't have the John Edwards show if he wasn't didn't have entertainment value.
No, and nobody and would watch.
And what we do in mediumship and psychic, there's no harm to that.
No.
Our ego is only working to the point that we're holding the crown.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you a secret, too. If you listen to people's messages as they come, most of them, like in particular, if they get personal, there's nothing for you.
Yeah.
But out of every message, you can take a hint.
You get something.
You get something out of it. To watch a public demonstration is that. So the medium in the front is aware that they're trying to hold a congregation together, not have somebody... Guess what? Whispering to the guy next to them, you know. So you have to kind of hold that congregation by doing this. But there has to be a method of zeroing in on it. And some mediums we're finding have done a really second class act against this business of throwing out these names.
Yeah.
And that's not mediumship, and it's not good, and it's, you know, it's a terrible expression of we are here to give proof. And to my way of thinking, there is no proof in having 10 people put up their hand and 9 of them get disappointed. Mm-hmm. Actually, in that case, it was 10 in the one that I described. But the point is that there is no, that's not a comfort. That's not a good thing. That's not reaching out.
And I think this is something that's coming out of there, and maybe they're going
to
have to change it, because, you know, I've seen some really good mediums come out of there, you know, and I've seen one medium in particular work that way. When he got to the person that he was narrowing down on, it was awesome. It was an awesome message and absolutely dead smack on. But he could have got there and got that message done and did maybe 4 other people in the time it took to do this elimination thing. But again, it's a different method of working. So, you know, I don't know that I can criticize it, but I don't really appreciate it as much as I do seeing somebody come in and work. Now, you watched me work when I was in I was in Hamilton. And what I do to amuse the people is I talk a little bit about what I'm doing. If I'm doing psychometry, I talk about how that psychometry works while I'm getting the information.
Yeah, meanwhile, you're holding the article.
Yeah, and I'm getting the information. I'm talking about this is what psychometry is and how it works. Because not everybody out there does know, especially public demonstrations.
Exactly.
And so, and then sometimes I'll tell a funny story about something that happened when I was doing psychometry or something until I get what I'm getting and then go in, bang, with the person. And so I think you keep the interest. But the Me Too thing, Jeannie, you've had that happen, have you not? Where you've given a message out to somebody and 2 people will come up later and say, if it wasn't for the name or it wasn't for this particular thing, I would have thought that was my message.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And I think we've pretty much got now that people that we're dealing with, we've pretty much said to them, listen to all the messages, because there may be some, you know, there may be somebody in spirit, we'll say, like my friend that we were talking about before we came on.
Right.
You know, he may be trying to get through, but, you know, somebody else is coming through, so he wants to tell me something similar, so it makes me think of him. So he goes, you know, there's a parallel somewhere. And then I'm thinking, he's tuning in with me, and he's giving me, hey, pay attention to that message, because that's what you need to know right now. So I don't think we always, you know, when you're in a congregation, we always get it from the medium. But what I did like about John, Jeannie, was he told people, like he did about maybe 4 people, because it was only a real short segment. And then he talk to Dr. Oz about how you don't need to go to a medium to talk to your people.
Exactly.
That you can do that yourself. And he gave them some insight in how they could develop that.
Right on. That's perfect.
And I thought, excellent.
Yes.
Yep.
The bottom line is in order...
Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that... the bottom line to the healing of everything that's going on as we go through this shift is to really find our inner power. And, if, you know, if from there, it's straight to the light.
Yeah. And you know, you do a lot of some really good research. You got to be one of the most well-read people on, you know, the scientific end and what's going on out there and the metaphysical world and things. You're always picking up on something out there, but yet you keep that spiritual connection, you know, with when you go to do your mediumship, you keep that connection with the person, with the personality that you're bringing through. You know,
yes.
it's not just dazzle them with your brilliance.
Well, Judy, I have a question for you. I noticed that when you do your work, you're using clairvoyance and psychometry and dream interpretation. I have to ask you, what is precipitation art?
That's an interesting one.
Yeah.
You can take chalk or charcoal, okay? We've done it mostly with charcoal. And I take a small piece of paper, all right, and you can just smear the charcoal on. You don't even have to be an artist because that lets me out anyway. Yeah. All right, we were talking about that earlier tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just smear it all over the paper, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, first of all, the person that's going to going to do precipitation art has held their paper for a while so that the energy is theirs. So there is a certain... psychometry fits into an awful lot of other aspects
things, yeah,
of how you do it. But there is a lot more to precipitation art. So you do your charcoal, and then it's handed to the medium, and the faces come up out of whatever you've done, and other things, of course,
yeah,
other symbols, and all kinds of things. Well, the rest of the story is, I took a piece of mine home when I learned about this precipitation art. I took a piece of my scribbles home, and I left it on top of kind of a cabinet. So it was out of the way, and there's only my husband and I, so nobody else would have touched it,
yeah,
all right? Not another soul in the house could possibly have touched this. 2 weeks later, there was a tiny pair of eyeglasses sitting in the corner of that paper, and it was drawn with ballpoint pen.
Wow.
Wow.
And my family are all opticians.
There you go.
There you go. So precipitation art will change as you take it home, and then you can take it down and read it again.
You remember J. Lee Hall?
Yes.
And she used to take, what are they called? The oil chalk.
Yeah.
Help me, Jeannie. What's the name?
Ellen Lost too.
On a velvet type of medium. And she would go with the chalk like that. And the same thing. Then she would start out, what is pastels? That's it. And outline the faces that she's seen in there, and as she was doing those, she was an artist. And so she would see these just go like this, and these pictures would come out. And as she was doing them, she'd tell you about the connection in other life experiences, that what connection and what influence that had on you now. That was awesome.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Anything to do with art. And Claudette, that you know,
yeah,
we both know, had brought in one where you put like finger paints,
yeah,
so it's that kind of media. Fold your paper, so you have two sides. Well,
yeah,
you would think it would automatically come out the same, but they don't always come out the same. And you open up, and you really have beautiful things, quite often looking like butterflies, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
They're so colorful. And you read those. And I remember her introducing that in Ontario when she was there.
Yeah.
So there's art media that comes. I know an actual psychic artist that draws pretty much at the end was getting to drawing your spirit guides, but she actually drew my sister for me in the early days.
Wow.
And there was absolutely no doubt. Unfortunately, through my travels, I've lost it.
Oh, no.
And I wish I still had it, but it was an absolutely gorgeous picture. And she's done this for so many people. There was a friend of mine had a picture from her just inside her door there, and it looked like my friend herself, but it was actually an older dress.
Wow.
By about two or three generations, and it was her great-grandmother, and she was
spit an image
of her, and you would have thought it was like Helen that you'd drawn in the first place.
Yeah.
And so Eva was absolutely marvelous. Unfortunately, I think she's kind of grown old and not doing it anymore, but for the most part, anything with art fascinates me. We were discussing art at the dinner table tonight, and I said I can't draw stick people to look good. So anything with art absolutely is fascinating.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I started when I was first teaching in 1972 in the night school. And what I would do is I'd do an hour lecture about the science of it, that, you know, what matter is and what energy is and how they relate, and that thoughts are an energy is my hypothesis, and I go through all that. And I think you've been at one of the classes that I did that. But anyway, long story short, after the hour, we will have somebody in the group come up and take chalk on its side and do the same thing on the regular chalkboard, right?
Mm.
So they do this. Now, I came into this class, and there were About 25 people. This is back in the days when you're getting in the early 70s and late 70s, and everybody was crazy for this stuff. So I have about 25 people in the night school class, and I walk in, and there's a gentleman off to my right-hand side, and I think to myself, not that I didn't have men in the class, I did, but for whatever reason, I thought, I don't know what this guy's doing here, right? But I thought, I don't have time to find out what he's doing here. I got a class to teach. So I get the science part of it done. I said, this is my most boring part. It's the first hour. Now we're going to let you have some fun and want a volunteer to come up who wants a reading. Well, this gentleman comes up, and he takes the chalk, and he does this, just like you say, just draw the chalk anywhere you want to, but it's on its side, so it makes broad strokes. He sits down, and I said, all right, now everybody, take a look at that. Tell me what you see on it, and you get everything. You get this, you get, you know, you get a camel, you get an elephant, you get a tree, you get a house, you get...
Like cloud reading.
Yeah, right, just the same kind of thing. So anyway, I list it all down, and then I go back, and I say, okay, Where would you find a camel? What does camel represent? Well, find it in an arid area. So there's something, is a camel on its feet or is it lying down, whatever? If it's lying down and there's no foliage around it, then you better give it a kick. But anyway, we go through all these symbols, what it means. And then we go back and I just take what they have told me the symbols mean and put the story together. So I turn to this gentleman, because I'm not watching him and I don't watch the jock, because I don't want to put my own interpretation in it. He said, do you understand that, sir? He said, 150% went chalk white. We had a coffee break then, the big horn blew for the coffee break. He never came back. It was a six-week course. He paid for all 6 weeks, and he was in there for the first hour when we took the coffee break. We scared the living bejeebers out of him, and he went home. Now, I still don't know whether I just felt that he was either in there to, you know, to kind of say this is a bunch of garbage and debunk me, more or less, or was in there as a study for scientific right up at the school or whatever, maybe at the university studying that and was going to write about it. I don't know. I just felt that he was not in there for to learn. And obviously it scared him so much that it was too close for comfort, and so he left.
Maybe he was doing maybe comparison notes, yeah. Things like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you said, Dr. Oz, kind of sitting there with his mouth open when John Edwards comes out with this stuff, because people do not expect that that's what we're capable of, that the medium is capable of saying to the people that are inquiring. I was thinking earlier, you were talking about coming to somebody whose child had died and that everything's great. You remember before we started, I talked about the student I just put up on the platform.
Yeah.
Okay, and one of the first cities he worked in was Hamilton, of all things, Hamilton East Church, and he had two suicides out of there. Out in Oshawa, he goes to a couple of churches. He has two suicides out of there. They're all young men.
No kidding.
No kidding.
Yeah.
He's only been doing this a few months, and he keeps getting these guys coming. He actually said to me one day, in talking about the demonstrations, that he actually said to me, he says, what is it that I'm getting these suicides? You know,
there's an empathy there somewhere.
Yeah.
Do you know whether or not he'd ever gone through a really tough time when he was down so low that he felt like there wasn't much left?
I don't think that he was ever contemplating suicide.
No, but it was really at the low ebb.
No, and that's why he inquired about it himself.
Yeah, because usually that's usually...
There's some sort of clue there.
Yeah,
because that's what I kind of got from it too, was either you know somebody that's suicided or you yourself have been in a depressed state.
Yeah. And not that you were going to commit suicide, but you know how you could get that hopeless.
That hopeless feeling in you.
Yeah.
For that to happen.
So,
but it's interesting.
He must have an empathy for it.
Well, for these young men, anyway, he did. I'm telling you, it was... One of the ladies came in, and her husband was waiting out in the car, and she ran out to him, and she says, this is what he gave me. And the husband came in totally prepared not to believe it.
Yeah.
And he blew him out of the water.
Yeah.
All right, just with some proof that he gave him, and then they went on about the sound.
And there was no way that he could know.
There was no way he could know what was going on, the story that was going on. So you can only give so much during the Sunday service, and then he felt he had to talk to these people after, you know. And because normally I was sort of hitting them over the head with, you do not do afters after the service, because you're not actually totally connected.
Yeah.
But in this case, it was a little different.
Yeah, and sometimes you have to do the counseling after.
Because, you're more into counseling as opposed to a demonstration in church is supposed to be sort of a taste that makes you want to come back for more.
Yeah.
You want to come back for more.
Yeah.
You know, what else can I sample over here?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And just to give them confidence, just to show, we've got a couple of younger mediums that have been working on the rostrum a couple, 3 years maybe. And this lady came to church. Since we've been to this one, so we've only been there a year, so it'd be probably about 6 months ago, this young woman came in, and she was with some other people that attend the church. And unbeknownst to us, they had said to her before she came in, no, don't expect to get a message, because sometimes you have to come a few times before you get one. But sure enough, one of our young people stood up. Catherine, you know Catherine, don't you?
Jeannie? I do, yeah.
Yeah. So Catherine stood up and went to her and said, I have your mother who's in spirit, and she hasn't been gone long. She's only been gone 10 days. And this young girl is very emotional. We got the boxes of Kleenex all over the church, of course, and so we all get a box of Kleenex. And says, I'm fine, you know, gave her the confidence and stuff like that. And afterwards, that girl was so impressed. I mean, it was probably a minute and a half is all she took with her up there. And then the girl talked to her afterwards about how fantastic that was, how it made her feel so much better to know that her mother was over there and was fine, and that, you know, that she wasn't supposed to feel guilty that she wasn't there when the mother died or whatever.
Whatever the message.
And it was just absolutely amazing that to the whole congregation, that, you know, she just turned like that. First message, she gets right into this girl. You know, so, I mean, we're looking at a younger group of people that are coming up, that it's so much more accepted, that they're allowing themselves to really stretch out there and work with it.
Yes, because the Kelly is getting, it's almost like he's drawing in a younger congregation because he's a little bit younger.
Yeah.
I think he looks younger than he is, by the way, on top of that.
Yeah.
The other thing is, you know how British mediums are automatically accepted, and we've been laughing about that? Men
are accepted.
Are automatically accepted. They don't even have to prove themselves. They are automatically accepted. And I could name a couple that probably should have a test done before, you know, the acceptance. And Kelly is good.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt about
it. Makes it even better.
And it's not because I'm worked with him, you know, as a part of his teachings, but only because he is a good medium out there. And so he's drawn all these young people in, and that's exactly the kind of thing that's happening, is that he's kind of blowing them out of the water, that they're going to start coming back. And I think that's the future of spiritualism. Like, the churches have to be drawn in young people. I mean, us old broads aren't going to be around forever. Yeah.
Boy, you know? And I talk the same language, don't we, Jeannie?
So, yeah, definitely. I've always decided that whatever I'm doing, I'm here to teach those that are going to follow me, because right now, I'd like some freedom. So, well, you better have somebody coming up to do the work behind you.
Jeannie's a little bit younger than I am, by a lot. But then we have a lot of them that are even younger than that. I've got one girl now that's in the MIT training, the Minister in Training, and she's 27. We have another girl who is a musician, and she probably won't be there tomorrow, but her mother will be there for sure. I'm hoping that the girl will get there before you go back. But she is an absolute smashing medium. Just absolutely. You've seen Ash work, haven't you, Ash, right?
Yeah, Ash. I was going to ask, Judy, how do people see you when you're here? perhaps we should tell everybody how to...
They can actually, starting tomorrow night, we're going to have the public dance. And we still have some seats for that if people want to come, unless they get a whole raft of people at the last minute. Then we might have to stand them in the outer garden instead of the inner garden. We're going to get that wall down between the two one of these days.
Mm-hmm.
But they can come for, it's a $20 fee, or they can come on Sunday, which is, you know, they can come, we've got reservations for some seats, so we can sit comfortably 50 people in there, and other than that, we're going to, as I say, be in the outer garden, looking in through the doorway.
So how would people, would they phone then for reservations, or how would
They can phone my house, which is 604-594-1565, and they can go to innergarden.com, of course, is online, and get all that information about what we're doing. And then Judy's going to have workshop next Friday and Saturday, like Friday night and Saturday. There's a 10-hour workshop. And it's $120 and includes the lunch on Saturday. And I think that's a pretty good deal.
And what is the workshop called, Judy?
I didn't really give them a name, but we're going to cover a lot of good stuff. And I've been looking up on spirit guides because we all have spirit guides. All right? Anybody with a creative bone in their body has a spirit guide. So we're going to be talking a lot about what they are, who they are, where they're from, and what's going on. Okay?
And how you can sense
and how, yeah, and how somebody can get in touch with their own spirit guide, begin that relationship, that partnership. Spirit guides are about being a partnership. And you know, you're making a new friend over there, and you can't see them, but you're going to make a new friend. Well, heavens, that's the internet in a nutshell, isn't it?
Yeah,
you're
it
making
is.
A new friend.
I mean,
friend.
We don't see them, but they're there.
But they're there.
Exactly.
So,
Internet to Heaven, that's a new book.
Oh, there would be a good name for the workshop, Internet to Heaven.
There you are.
There we
the
are.
The Internet to Heaven. That's what we're doing on next week.
Yeah, and I think on Friday, to kind of get us into the mood, to show us, you can go anywhere and kind of pick up on what your psychic gifts are and have somebody help you unfold them. But to give it a spiritual flavor, if you will, you really do need to include a philosophy of God behind everything. Yeah.
Whatever
name you want to call it. You know, sometimes God's a bad word to some people, but, you know,
God to me.
Yeah, it's God to me, and it always will be. He's there for me, and I'm there for him. And her or it, whatever. It's
I don't
an
think
energy.
There is a...
But the idea is that we have to put that spirituality back in. And I wrote an article a long, long time ago called Tools of Your Own Consciousness. And it means that when you're struggling with anything in life, absolutely anything that's going on, you have tools of your own consciousness that you can go into to help bring the peace that shows you the solutions that you want to find.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to start with on Friday night, to show that it's a spiritual exercise. I think I even have handouts. How about that? I've been carrying them around.
Yeah, because I actually went down to California before you came here. So,
oh, yeah. So I've been having
carrying
fun.
Them through California and bringing them back up here.
Exactly.
If we need to print any more off, we can always do them on the printer here.
Yeah, and I have my two books with me, which I will introduce and show, just some of the work that I have done through using some of the articles I have written and expanding on them, kind of thing.
The other thing that we're going to do, Jeannie, you know the Fun and Learn that we do Wednesday?
Yes.
And the Thursday night mediumship practice. Mm-hmm. We're turning both of those over. She doesn't know this yet. She's going to learn. I surprise people, right? My girls are always saying this. She's always surprising us. We don't know what we're doing. Going to have her come in and do a circle on Wednesday night and probably a different type of one on Thursday night for development.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So I don't know how your week is. You said you had some classes to teach this week.
Yeah, well, Let's check our calendars tomorrow.
Check our calendars, yeah.
Thank you.
See if you can get into something before she goes back.
Yes.
Now, tomorrow, or Sunday rather, you know, we have the care and share portion. Because Judy's going to work so hard on Saturday, we're going to get her to do the care and share portion. And the following week, she'll be doing the full service. Now, I just found out that you heard that Thomas passed away.
Yes, I did. Yes.
Yeah. And his service is on that Sunday.
Yeah.
So I will stay for as much as I can, but then I'm going to have to head off to pick people up and take them to the service over there. And so I'm going to leave Patricia in charge. She's down in California right now, so I'm looking after it now. She'll take it next week.
Good.
Judy's going to be there on two Sundays, and we're going to have a luncheon afterwards, which is nice.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you would like the listeners to know, Judy, as you enter... have your journey with us in this next week? Anything else? Oh, can people get
private readings? Private readings would be good if anybody's interested in getting a private one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how would they do that? Same phone number, Barb?
Yeah, just phone me and we can book that in. And we'll try to book them in so that we'll fill a day and then leave some days for her to go and do some stuff. Unless we get filled for the whole week, and then she's going to go home and have a rest.
And then that's for sure.
Yeah. So what I'll do is I'll fill like one day up, and then fill another day up, and you know, by the time we get Saturday and Sunday this week, and then Wednesday and Thursday, and then we're going to end up doing Friday and Saturday and Sunday the following week, and you're going back on the Monday.
Tuesday,
yeah.
Wednesday.
But whatever.
Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday.
She's going back. The 30th, they're going back?
Yeah, the 30th, oh, okay. I'm going back. I'm
all right.
Going home on the
'cause I've got that thing in there. I didn't check it. But anyway, you know, we'll at least have lots of activity going on. And then possibly on some of the days off, we can get some of the people together that are interested in meeting her, if they got time, and we'll grab lunch at the center or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, social thing at the center.
Perfect. So, everybody is welcome.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful to have the chapel and to have a place that's so open and welcoming to everyone, no matter what their philosophy is, no matter what they do with their lives, and I just want to encourage everybody that can come to go and meet Judy and experience the chapel.
Now, if they don't want a phone, they're not sure how their schedule's going to be, most of the functions start at 7 o'clock on the night's functions, so if they come at 7 o'clock, just come in and take their chances, because you know, we'll put extra chairs up, thanks to Jeannie, who donated some extra chairs. Boy, we came into luck with that one, didn't we, Jeannie?
It was my pleasure.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, that was so timely. I'm thinking to myself, I need more chairs. And I get an email from Jeannie, she doesn't know that I'm saying this, and says, by the way, you wouldn't happen to need a few extra chairs. I'm telling you, Spirit was really working, weren't they, Jeannie?
Yeah, they sure were. The timing was impeccable. That's when you know it's coming from Spirit, when it's impeccable timing.
And you know the organization was meant to be.
Oh, I mean, that had to be, because so many things came together, it had to be right. But if they want to just come to the chapel, it's at 14620 64th Avenue in Surrey. Now, just think of 146 and 64th. It's on the corner, and the chapel is at the front of the building. It's got chapel written on the top, and it is number 100. But just get to the building, you'll see the chapel. So, you know, it's in a light industrial complex, but it's sure like a little church when you get inside, isn't it, Jeannie?
It sure is, and it's really easy to find. It's got beautiful energy, nice, warm, wonderful energy.
Yeah, and so we got really good people to credit that to, though.
And we're here to keep it going.
Yeah. Jeannie is one of the girls that was ordained the same time as I was, and another girl named Heather. Heather's going to, you'll get to meet Heather, whether Jeannie will be able to be there Saturday night, but Heather is coming, and get to meet her. And she's another one that's got a lot of really good information, you know, when they come and talk. You won't get to meet Patricia until she gets back from California, but Patricia just wows people when she's on the rostrum. She always finds something to interact with the people.
Mm.
And I think the first time she did a talk on the rostrum, she did an interaction by saying, "I see you." And we all had to look at each other and say, "I see you." You know, it was really awesome. So now she's got this reputation that she always does something interactive.
Yeah.
Yeah, includes the congregation.
Right.
My gosh. She's going to have a challenge because she's just starting in the ministry. Wait till 20 years trying to think of something new to do.
You'd be a couple of repeats there.
Yeah, that's for sure. I'm thinking that it will be like some of the stories that I tell on the Karen Share. If you haven't been there 2 years ago, well, I'm going to get it this time.
It depends what topic it is, and we have a story to tell on everyone.
Yeah, exactly. So really interesting things going on, but really looking forward to Judy's visit. And I'm sure. How's Clive doing these days?
Oh, just wonderful. I was going to ask Judy, too, how's the weather out there?
Oh,
it was, I was driving out of town last Sunday to go to a service out of town with my friend, and it actually tried to snow.
That was in California.
No, that was in Toronto.
Oh, in Toronto.
Before we left. The Sunday before I left. It was starting to snow. Now, mind you, it was one of those snows that hits the ground and it melts.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was trying to snow that night. Then I get on a plane on Tuesday and get down to California. I couldn't get my coat off fast enough. It said it was 71 degrees. It felt more like 80 to me. And I've been looking at the sun for the 3 or 4 days I was down there. It's been absolutely gorgeous. I've warmed up my bones again.
Okay.
And then I come here, I'm finding a bit of dampness tonight. Yeah. But it's not bad. I'm getting much milder weather than what we left home to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been quite a month to travel in. That it's a changing up. It's a change up month.
Yeah.
I think wherever you are. And I was told that May and June are not a good time to go down to California, to go down to San Diego. They're right out on the Pacific, on what you get is all that foggy mist that's coming in. So May and June apparently are, you know, you'd think, hey, great months, but I kind of picked a better one.
Good stuff.
In the morning there could be a little bit of fog.
You almost thought about coming a different time because of the school.
Well, we talked about that, and actually, when it turned out, I think fares were up slightly because it was March break, but it wasn't enough to deter me from doing it because we had started last June talking about where we were going to fit this in because you knew you had visitors from England or whatever that are so popular, and I thought, well, you know, we might as well not follow on somebody's tail if we don't have to.
And it's just, you know, it's just the way it happens sometimes. We don't know somebody else. One of the other churches brought somebody in, and they just went home, I think, just about 4 days ago. So they've had a couple of weeks of that medium in. But, you know, all mediums are different, and I think that there's lots of room out there. There's a lot of people that didn't necessarily get to see that particular medium because they were busy. They'll come out.
Oh!
Yeah. And who is supposed to be there, as we say, Jeannie will be there, right?
Exactly. And I know I'm supposed to be here.
Yeah.
You know,
well, we're
going to
have a good time.
Well, sure we are. And the spirit's behind the whole visit. I have the lady I visited in California is actually a student of mine. And I've always thought I knew I was going to have a national presence, you know.
Yeah.
And there's so many associations in the United States. Nobody's trying to tread on anybody's toes. No. But Joan found me. through the internet and whatever. And it was just so wonderful to meet up with her. And oh, here's my U.S. student, you know. Oh. And now we've got people from Nova Scotia and other places in Ontario. And we're spreading out, so with the education aspect.
Yeah. Now, this is what Judy does more than anything, Jeannie. She has courses that people can go on that will give them all the type of qualifications, like if they were going to go into the ministry, pretty much everything they need.
Wow, that's great.
And of course, the thing is that if they're in Ontario, Judy can ordain them there, can you?
Yes. I can ordain a minister in any of the provinces. What you run into provincially is whether or not you can get your marriage
rights to back up
that. And that has to be sorted out with some of the churches in the other provinces. And I'm actually working on that with Nova Scotia.
Now, with BC, we've just been going through this loop. And Jeannie, when we were with First United, because they had a history for a long period of time, there wasn't any problem getting marriage rights because it goes with the church here, not with the person.
Right.
Okay, so now when we get our marriage rights, we'll say that, well, Jeannie and Heather and I were there. When we move from there, we lose our marriage rights because it stays with the church there.
Interesting.
Yeah, so now if when we are at our 5 years, because we're not at our 5 years yet, when we're at our 5 years, we can make application, and then if Jeannie and Heather and I and Patricia or whatever are wanting to take the rights, then the church can issue those, apply for the rights for that person. So it's a little different.
So you can still have more than one minister in one center.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking the way it's attached to the church, that limits who you
No, it's attached to the church because at the ISA, for instance, you're going to meet Reverend Anna Beveridge, lovely lady. She's now with the Universal Brotherhood. And they asked her to come over there when Mary Heitman, who was the minister for so many years, was very ill. So she went over there, but she was trained ISA, and another lady was trained with her, and there was already another senior minister. So they had three ministers in, and they all had their marriage rights. And there's the fourth one now would have been Reverend Leslie Prentison. If she wants to do weddings, they'll issue for her.
Barb, I'm just noticing there's 2 minutes left.
Yep.
So is there anything that you want to, our listeners to know? Or again?
Just see us, right?
Yeah, I think every medium's unique, and I can't even tell you now what I'm going to be talking about. The Spirit hasn't decided where it's going to come and go from. So they're in charge.
There you go.
I get up and open my mouth. They speak.
Yeah, there you go. So there you are. What are you up to, Jeannie? Quick.
Oh, well, I'm going to make sure that I can get to see Judy before she goes home. I'm teaching right now in a very erratic kind of a schedule, but I'm certainly going to make sure that I meet Judy and at least be at one of those events.
Good. Well, okay, I'll say goodnight to you, Jeannie, and thank you, Zeth and Dawn and all those guys down at BBS.com radio that give us the opportunity to bring this program to you every other week, and we will see you in 2 weeks. So thank you, everybody, and God bless. Thanks,
Judy. Good night.
Good night, dear.
It.